Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Welcome to Monday, and welcome to summer, I guess, although Ted's not officially summer, later, I think, in the day.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact time. I should look it up, but it is today.
It is. So happy first day of summer, and for those of us that live in the upper Midwest, I don't know, maybe that's the case in Hartford as well. It's kind of like we live for these 3 months when there's not snow.
Yeah, that's right.
All that really happens, it seems like. So we hang on to every day. So, well, glad to have you listening in today. Hope you had a wonderful Father's Day. Ted, happy Father's Day to you.
Yes, to you as well. Thanks. I actually got out in the heat yesterday and knocked the volleyball around a little bit with my daughter, who really wanted to play.
Okay.
Honestly, wasn't my first choice, but, you know, a good dad does what he has to do. So.
So I saw a cartoon the paper here, maybe it was last week or something, or probably this weekend, I guess, is why Father's Day is so much easier to buy for. It showed a son giving a fist bump to his dad.
Oh.
Like, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, nice.
Like, yeah, that's all
that's
you
it.
Need. That's all you need. So, say, our guest today just became a dad here, I think, a few weeks ago. Jay Milbrandt on the line with us. So, Jay, is that right? Was it 3-4 weeks ago?
4 weeks ago yesterday, yeah.
All right. Well, so happy Father's Day. So how was your first Father's Day?
It was rambunctious. A lot of diapers and late nights, but we're making it through.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can't quite relate. The diapers and late nights. Boy, that was a season a long time ago, and I'm happy to let that go. So anyway, well. Jay, want to just officially welcome you to Connecting Faith. Welcome back, I should say. Jay Milbrandt is an attorney, and he's now a professor at Bethel University, and he is also formerly directed the Global Justice Program at Pepperdine University School of Law. He's traveled throughout the world as a human rights lawyer, managing global initiatives in Africa and Southeast Asia, and consulting with organizations engaged in human rights and legal development efforts. He produces documentaries and photography exhibits and blogs about justice, service, adventure, and travel. And all those things we're going to address today. He's written a couple of books. We'll primarily talk about Go and Do. It was his first book called Daring to Change the World, One Story at a Time. And we do have a couple of copies of that to give away. So hope that you'll give us a call and sign up for the drawing for that. And a new book just out. Called, well, I guess it's been out for a little bit. It's called The Daring Heart of David Livingstone, Exile, African Slavery, and the Publicity Stunt That Saved Millions. And we're looking forward to finding out a little bit about that as well. Jay, maybe just to start out, talk about Go and Do. And you suggest that it's a challenge, but it's not necessarily about changing the world, even though, you know, that's what the subtitle talks about.
Right, right. You know, it's funny. We've been on before with you, and it's been almost 5 years ago that I wrote that book, and I actually reflect on it a lot. And I've been teaching in higher education, working with a lot of young people, and the same ideas and the same challenges are still as true today, maybe if not more true. And you know, there's really this crisis. I think I call it a crisis that we our young people. And I work with, you know, people coming out of high school and college. That are facing, and there's so much pressure on them of what they're supposed to accomplish and you know, what they need to be a part of and the resume that they have to start building. And that when they enter the real world, so to speak, they feel really alienated from these heroic dreams. And they start saying, what did I do this for? What's all this about? And I you know, I think we find that too, even when we're older, that we get to these places where there's this deep desire to find purpose in our lives. And so this book and this challenge was about creating this great exchange where we have a desire for purpose that matches someone else's desire for survival and the ability to live, and that there's this great mutual exchange in those two things.
We, I guess, you know, we're going to find out a little bit more about, all right, so how do we go about, you know, kind of changing the world, making a difference? I'm wondering if we get hung up on maybe just sort of the terms of the idea. I know as you, in the biography of David Livingstone, you talk about sort of the idea of missions or being a missionary. And, well, Go and Do as well, you address that and didn't feel like, you know, you were ever really a missionary on some of your trips. So should we not get hung up on maybe on the words and just be about following what God has prompted to do us to do in our hearts?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, that idea of trying to change the world. I know when I started going, getting out and traveling this global justice arena, people would introduce me or they would ask me, "What Jade is trying to change the world." And I kind of recoiled at that because it didn't seem like something I could do or accomplish. I wanted to do things, but that wasn't necessarily what I was trying to, because it seems overwhelming. How could I respond to this great hurting world and do something that is valuable? But I think it was more about trying to change myself and do things in me and create or have these experiences and be a part of these things. And in a way, you get to create and change the world. I just think about this this girl in Thailand that we met 8 years ago, who was on the street and was a street child in the red light district, and got involved in her life and got to been sponsoring her since. And we actually named our daughter's middle name after her. Her name was Ami, and you know, we get to help be a part of pulling her off the street and in this great family. She's now 16, 8 years later. And, you know, it's one person that we made this really monumental difference in. It's just becoming a wonderful, God-loving young woman. And that's the kind of change that we don't necessarily go in trying to create, but it happens when we put ourselves out there.
So say more about, you know, as you went, maybe tell a bit more of your story, because it started, was it on a summer missions trip, or just an opportunity to travel to Thailand? You had an interest in human trafficking. I mean, kind of give us a little background.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was in law school. I didn't have any desire to do anything involved with missions. I hadn't done any short-term mission work, but, you know, it's still at that sort of that crisis point where I got into this grad school program, and there's all this pressure on you, and you look at the opportunities coming out of that, and you're like, do I want to sit in an office and do what lawyers do all day? I don't know. And so it was this moment where it felt like I was, you know, alienated from these heroic ideas that drew me to the law and into grad school in the first place. It was really a desert of sorts. And so, you know, this question of what am I supposed to do? And I had one more summer left, and that was the summer that most people should be going and trying to get their job. And I decided I'm going to go. I had an opportunity to go to Thailand and work with some organizations responding to human trafficking. And I just decided to follow that because it was where my heart wanted me to go. And it was really, you know, a leap of faith. And a lot of my faculty and friends said, this is a bad idea for your career. And, you know, curiously enough, it became a career that one trip to Thailand ended up taking me, you know, to back to Thailand almost a dozen times for various projects and working with refugees there, and then to Africa and Peru and Ecuador and all these different places working with human trafficking or children who were wrongly imprisoned. And, you know, it's following your heart and following that call from God places you don't necessarily think you should go.
You know, say more about that, you know, as people advise you, say, you know, this is a bad idea for your career. I mean, well-meaning, maybe counselors, friends, maybe family members are saying, okay, I mean, appreciate your passion, your interest, but there needs to be some practical strategies here as well. And these are key, you know, moments that you won't get back or whatever it might be. How did you work through some of that maybe conflicting advice that you got?
Yeah, that was difficult. you know, because it was my faculty, it was my career counselors, it was, you know, friends who were saying, this isn't a good decision. There'll be other times for this. And, you know, I think we can do that in our lives very easily, where we can say, well, this isn't a good time. You know, we just had a baby, and we're not rushing out, but we think about, okay, it'd be easy for us to say, we can't do this stuff anymore. And, you know, I look at our daughter, and I think about, oh, I want to give you these experiences too, and encourage you, as you grow up to have this view. And so I think it's sometimes saying that this doesn't make sense and this isn't practical, but I feel like it's where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, you brought up Livingstone, the Livingstone book, and I really resonated with this man of history. And I think that we often need inspirational figures to follow and see how they did it. He had these same problems where he wanted to go to Africa, and people said, don't do it, or go and work at this missionary agency that's going to be in one place in Africa, but you can't leave the compound. And he just said, no, it's not where my heart is. And he kind of had to go off on his own. And, you know, we need to find those heroes and those figures to aspire to be more like.
We'll talk more about the daring heart of David Livingstone, and maybe some things about, you know, going off on our own and how do we follow our heart, but how do we also, you know, go where we're most effective. We're talking go and do. Daring to Change the World One Story at a Time. That's the title of one of Jay Milbrandt's books. Also, The Daring Heart of David Livingstone's the new book. We do have some copies of Go and Do to give away, and we'll do that drawing here at the top of the hour. It'd be a great gift for maybe a recent grad, or maybe if you're dealing with some purpose questions in your life as well, and ready to, you know, to make a difference. What are you supposed to do? Do you have some ideas that God seems to be prompting you to? Maybe this will be a good resource that you can review and encourage yourself with and use it as a discussion starter. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number to sign up for the book or join us in the conversation. Maybe you've had a go-and-do experience. We'd love to hear about it. You're welcome to interact with us at 877-933-2484. Jay Milbrandt is attorney, a professor at Bethel University, and he has traveled through much of the world as a human rights lawyer, managing global initiatives in Africa and Southeast Asia, and joining us today on Connecting Faith. There's more coming up. Brant's my guest today on Connecting Faith. He had an MBA and a law degree from Pepperdine University, and he had the world at his feet, really. But rather than following his peers into big firms with high-profile clients and even higher salaries, Jay chose a completely different road, a journey that led him across large portions of the globe to go and do likewise, as Jesus modeled and instructed in his life to this earth. And in his efforts to bring justice and healing to people all around the world, Jay's pursuit of justice become an adventure far greater than he could ever have dreamed or imagined. He's written about it in his book called Go and Do, Daring to Change the World One Story at a Time. Jay is an attorney. He's now a professor at the Bethel University, joining us today. He's also written a new book called The Daring Heart of David Livingstone. And it's the subtitle is Exile, African Slavery, and the Publicity Stunt That Saved Millions. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, Jay, as we go along. But I'm just curious, you mentioned, you know, about David Livingstone sort of deciding after coming back from his original tour in Africa under a missions agency, decided to sort of go back as an explorer because that was where his heart was. You know, if we want to go and do, is it important that we be under the authority of a ministry organization, or is it just, you know, God's given me a passion to do something, so I'm just going to do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why Livingstone is a great example to me. I mean, he's done both, and he felt like when he was able to step out of some of the boxes he was placed into, he felt that he was serving God to the best of his ability. And he's got this great story where he's taking his men out and they're exploring, and he had the overlying purpose of trying to end the slave trade. So there was a purpose to his exploration, but he talks about how, he would just be hunting and trying to shoot an antelope so he could feed his men, and how he felt God's presence in those simple things as much as he did when he was preaching at the missionary compound. So I think we can do both. And certainly the term missionary was more narrowly defined in Livingstone's day than it is now. And there are many more organizations. He had only a couple organizations that were sending people to Africa. There are many more organizations and things, but it doesn't have to be all within that context. There are a lot of people who are just serving out there, or projects that aren't necessarily preaching the gospel specifically, that are doing amazing God-serving work.
So, if we're not sort of specifically sharing the gospel, but only showing the gospel, I guess, is that enough? Or maybe how have you kind of worked through that, maybe in your own life experience, where that the showing is important, but the telling is as well?
Yeah. Well, I think it's often from my perspective, there's a lot of context to it. I've worked with women and children in Thailand, a Buddhist culture that are coming out of human trafficking. And, I've been into these brothels and been involved with organizations and the groups that are doing raids. And, it's not always the right place to tell. But you're showing, they're working through some traumatic matters, and it's a difficult place to sort of to sometimes have those conversations. They usually come later, but on the other hand, we'd be working with refugees that were running in Burma from the Burmese military that was trying to destroy their villages, or kids who were in prison in Africa illegally. And that is a great time to be both showing and telling, because they're very receptive. And so I think it's a matter of context and what the matter is in some cases, that there is a place for showing before telling. Livingstone, again, is a great example of that to me, because he was often, especially when he transitioned into his time as an explorer, in which history knows him better as, there were people who talked about many years after his death at villages that were transformed, that were following Jesus, and he had never spoken to them about it, but they saw him, and they saw this man who came to their village and treated them as Christ would treat them. And there was an amazing example and a lot that was told through his life, even when he couldn't speak the same language.
Now, when you first went to Thailand, you ended up playing with children. I know in the book Go and Do, you talk about, having a conversation after a class with a student who was concerned that someone else had reported back on their trip, and they said, well, sometimes all we do is just hug people. And said, it doesn't seem like that's enough. Do you go with the sense of, I'm just going to do whatever needs to be done, even if it's not maybe part of my grand agenda?
Yeah. It's funny, and that's a story that was really a pivotal moment for me, because, I was in law school, and you're supposed to be doing legal work. I have friends who were doing, mergers and acquisitions for major law firms downtown Los Angeles. And, I got to Thailand and they said, well, we're going to go out and play with street children. And you're just kind of like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And it's certainly, how do I express this on my resume later? Right. Like that's the perspective that we often have. And I didn't want to go that night into the red light district and see these kids. I was very close to just hanging back, and then I decided maybe it was something prompting me deeper to just go and try it one night. And you can always say you gave it a shot. And I just remember being out there in this red light district and having these conversations that were, and I was hugging children and playing with them, but then having this conversation about why are they there, what's the legal status of these children, and actually found out that they were stateless, that they don't exist anywhere legally on the planet. Their parents had brought them, had actually come in illegally across the border from Burma, gave birth in Thailand, and the Burmese government wouldn't recognize them, and the Thai government wouldn't recognize them. So they're stateless. And, you know, I actually found out that there's this around the world, there are all these situations where statelessness is a problem. And so I've ended up writing legal articles and being a part of this conversation on statelessness and how we change this issue in the world, how we solve this problem. And so it's sort of also interesting because that night, I went out to do something that I didn't want to do, that didn't seem like it was going to have any bearing on my career. And then you find this thing that takes you in a direction that is within the crosshairs of what your profession is. And so I think when we follow God, there's just these strange things that happen, right? These happy coincidences.
And out of that comes maybe a more committed, focused mission, right? You could go back and say, all right, here's something that I can address, that I can make a difference, and to jump into it wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. And that actually kind of became the focus of one of the things that I started working on after that, was this issue of statelessness. And so we started addressing this on a more systemic level with several of the kids out there, and then went to work to get their legal identification process. So I mentioned this girl that I met, who is now 16, and she was one of the kids that we went through that process for, and ended up making a monumental impact in her life, that when she could get legal identification, she could go to school, she could access the healthcare system. And it was paperwork, and it was trying to work through bureaucracy and make that happen. But it does. It takes you in a direction where you find a new purpose that you never had considered before. And it's really just that stepping out. It's that dare to yourself, to try things, to go places, and then do things that are uncomfortable or that you don't want to do or aren't practical.
Daring to change the world one story at a time. That's what we're talking about today with Jay Milbrand. He's authored the book called Go and Do. Wrote it some 5 years ago or so. And a new book just recently done. It's on the life of David Livingstone. It's called The Daring Heart of David Livingstone, from Jay Milbrandt. Jay is an attorney. He's a professor at Bethel University. He is also a senior fellow in global justice. He's a former director of the Global Justice Program at Pepperdine University School of Law. Joining us today on Connecting Faith, we've got some copies of Go and Do to give away. We'll do a drawing at the top of the hour. You can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And I'd love to have you join the conversation, too. Maybe you have a Go and Do story and how God has given you an opportunity to work in an area of passion to make a difference in the world. Give us a call. Tell us about it.
If not us,
Go and Do. That's the title of a great book from Jay Milbrandt. The subtitle is Daring to Change the World One Story at a Time. Came out a few years back from Tyndale. Definitely worth the reading. Got some copies to give away. I want to encourage you to maybe open up your eyes to see more and ask God to direct and taking some steps of faith to not only change ourselves, but perhaps by doing that, we can change those that we encounter along the way. He's also written a story about David Livingstone, The Daring Heart of David Livingstone. It tells the story of his passion to end African slavery and the publicity stunt that saved millions. That came out here, well, maybe it was a 3 months ago or so from Thomas Nelson, or maybe it's longer than that.
Right.
But yeah, it's a great read. And Jay is a attorney. He's a professor at Bethel University talking with us today. Jay, just to maybe curious to know, you know, sometimes we need to, although you didn't take summer missions trips, but obviously you've been involved in a number of trips since that time. Do you need to have an agenda and a detailed plan, or is it you just go and however God leads and sort of be flexible and ready to do whatever?
Well, it's a funny question, you know, and it's hard to answer because we love our itineraries. Hmm. We love our schedules and agendas. And, you know, every time you plan a missions trip or an experience like this, people want to know, okay, yeah, send me the itinerary. What are we going to do? And it's a balance of both, but I always try to defer more onto, you know, you can have something on paper, but be willing to throw it all away if it goes wrong. And don't be afraid to go someplace if you don't have that itinerary, because that's really where, you know, I think where God works in us. It's in those blank spaces on the schedule that if we're trying to schedule it all, we don't really have time to see, you know, those go down to the red lights, or that's not on my itinerary. But that's when the stuff happens, is the things that we don't expect, and we need to have room for that. I think about one of the trips I did to Africa, and when I was at Pepperdine Law, I was directing our global justice program, and we had gotten word of a prison in Africa where kids were being held illegally. They were illegally detained there, and we've been working for several months trying to get a fix on where the prison was and what was going on there and who was overseeing it. We knew it was there. We just couldn't get enough detail. And so we wanted to make this trip, or a few of us were going to go over and try to see if we could help and see what was happening in that prison. And, you know, even up until a couple days before we were supposed to get on this plane, it just seemed like we couldn't get a hold of anyone and the schedule was going to fall through. And so we really had to take this leap of faith of, okay, let's just go. Let's get these tickets and let's just arrive over there and drive up and see what we find. And you know, we ended up at this tiny little prison in the middle of the bush, and there were these kids languishing in jail who just it's so far out of the way that none of the attorneys in that part of the region wanted to come there and represent these kids. And so it ended up, you know, that we started building these cases and trying to develop the file, the case file, for them to be represented. And so we really sort of, you know, teed up the ball, so to speak, that then attorneys could just kind of come into court and all the work had been done, all the research, all the calling witnesses, all the testimonies. And we ended up, you know, there were the kids who were in jail because they had stolen a pack of gum. And here they are a year later, they're still languishing in this prison. They've never had a day in court. You know, some had serious crimes. Some were supposed to be there lawfully. You know, they had committed something and they should have, but they'd never had, you know, been properly sentenced. Some were falsely accused. And so we ended up, you know, 20 some kids got released as a result of this. And now this is in the country of Uganda. Now we've run this same program half a dozen or so times, and the country of Uganda has stepped up to take it over themselves and to correct the oversight that was happening in these children's prisons. And so, you know, if we would have lived and died by our schedule, we never would have gone. And we would have turned around several times, and we would have just decided we can't work with this. And, you know, now we did something that caused a seismic shift in that country in the way it It seeks justice for kids and for its legal system.
Do you, when you go, are you always maybe cognizant of that? Maybe this criticism that, well, it's Westerners coming in to solve global problems, kind of run our missions or ministries or those kinds of things. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely, we really are. You know, we really don't like to. I've done this work. You don't want to be that kind of the hero from the U.S. that comes in. I don't think it's healthy. It kind of builds a system of expectations, and in some ways, some of these problems are exasperated. Well, they'll say, well, hey, we don't need to go. We don't need to send our lawyers up there because the lawyers from America will come in and solve this for us. So that's not what we wanted to create. So for us, it was always a partnership, bringing along institutions in these countries to get involved and make sure that they have ownership in it as well. And so, for instance, we did this project in Uganda with the prisons. We brought along, we worked collaboratively with Uganda Christian University, which is a fantastic school in Uganda, and bringing their students in and their faculty, and then developing deeper partnerships within the judiciary and making sure that they're coming along with that whole project as well. It's something that we try not to be the center focus of it, and try to make sure that it is focused on those who are willing to solve these problems and see this change through in the long run.
Jay Milbrandt is an attorney and a professor, and he's traveled managing global initiatives in Africa and Southeast Asia and consulting with organizations engaged in human rights and legal development efforts, and has produced documentaries and photography exhibits and blogs about justice, service, adventure, and travel. And Jay had an email from a listener, by the way. Our email address is myfaithradio.com, and you can go on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there if you have a question or comment. Or you can give us a call as well at 877-93-FAITH. This listener says, just turned on your show today. It's exactly what I've been praying about for over a year. So I'm almost 60 and have been at home the last couple of years, but I've always worked before this. I felt burdened for this one idea I've been having, but not sure if it's from the Lord. My husband is 5 years older than me and is waiting to retire. Do I do something I feel the Lord calling me enough? Do I do something I feel the Lord is calling me to, even though it doesn't provide me with future insurance and a paid position? I know the Lord can provide for me. I just want to jump into this if it's from the Lord wholeheartedly. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can't speak to anybody's situation. Obviously, you need to make sure, you're everything is right at home. But I every time I've taken that leap, I felt rewarded. And so, it can be scary, and it can feel like it's not the right thing to do, but it often ends up being right, and as the listener said, she feels that God will provide, and it seems every time, at least in my experience, I or someone I know has stepped out to go and do something, that's been the case, and that's just my experience with it.
Sure. Well, and maybe it gives an opportunity for us to talk about things that we can do without having to, we don't necessarily have to jump in a plane and go to Southeast Asia. I mean, there are opportunities within our own communities, right, that we can have an impact.
Absolutely. And, this isn't, I've had the privilege of having the ability with my jobs and schedules to be able to jump on those planes. And that's not the same for everyone. I look at our daughter who was just born, and we actually had a couple opportunities to go over to a couple invitations to go to Africa here this month. And, it's not the right time. We want to wait till she's a little older. And, but the world is coming to our doorstep. We don't have to go. The world is coming to our doorstep. And there are so many things to be doing throughout the Midwest. If you're in the Minneapolis area, I just think of the refugee crisis So many of the issues I've worked with have been, you know, human rights in Burma and people who their homes are being destroyed. And now we are, the Midwest is home to so many hundreds of, thousands of Karen families from Burma who fled to the refugee camps in Thailand and then ended up over here. Now, I jumped on a plane back from Thailand several times, and I'd actually been staying in the Karen refugee camps on the Thai-Burma border, and then there are these Karen families flying back and landing in Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and starting a new life. And, you know, it just sort of hit me that, wow, you know, it kind of comes full circle that the place I call home is now becoming the home so many of these people that I'd wanted to serve or tried to serve abroad. And so for me and for my wife, we've been trying to get involved since we've been back. And my wife went to grad school, which also grounded us a little bit more at home, trying to get involved with these, you know, refugee sorts of issues. So I'm on the board for Arrive Ministries, which is based out of Minneapolis. They do refugee resettlement, and but it's a broader, casts a broader net throughout the Midwest. And, you know, one of the things that we get a lot of people involved in are churches and families who want to adopt refugee families coming in. And so here you've got people who have never been to, have been in Thailand their whole life and, wearing flip-flops and shorts, and they arrive in January in Minnesota or Wisconsin. And, it's just a completely different world. And they need people to come behind them and help them, understand where to go, understand what to wear, what to do, how to get, how to find a job, how to go to the bank. And what an impact that can make just adopting a family. My wife is also involved with a clinic that she got to help start. She's a physician assistant, and that focuses on refugees and providing access to healthcare where they don't necessarily feel comfortable going to or know how to navigate the hospital system. And there's a clinic of doctors from Mayo that want and physician assistants and nurses from Mayo who want to come and help serve this community. So the world is truly coming to our doorstep, and there are so many ways, especially in the Midwest, so many ways that we can serve the world at home.
We're talking about how we can be open to seeing a life change, change in ourselves and maybe change and those we encounter along the way. Go and Do is the title of the book, Daring to Change the World, One Story at a Time. It's from Jay Milbrandt. Jay is an attorney. He's a professor at Bethel University, and he's a former director of the Global Justice Program at Pepperdine University School of Law. Travels throughout the world as a human rights lawyer, managing global initiatives in Africa and Southeast Asia, and consulting with organizations engaged in human rights and legal development efforts. We're going to talk more with Jay in just a moment. We do have a couple copies of the book to give away. Love to get your name in on the drawing for that at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or if you have your own Go and Do story or maybe a question about it, what would it take to maybe step out and to go and do something? You're welcome to give us a call. Love to have you on the conversation with Jay. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. We'll talk more in just a moment. Good summer reading. Let me recommend The Daring Heart of David Livingstone, Exile, African Slavery, and the Publicity Stunt that Saved Millions. When it comes to living with abandon, I think he qualified that. Written by Jay Milbrandt, Jay kind of started looking into David Livingstone's life while he was writing Go and Do, which is his previous book, Daring to Change the World One Story at a Time. And out of that came a pretty amazing encounter about one man's passion to stop a slave trade. It had been stopped in England some years before, but still obviously going strong in Africa. And Jay, maybe just what were you maybe most challenged or encouraged by as you researched and wrote about the life of David Livingstone?
Well, it's kind of a funny story that even finding my way into him, you know, it's one of those names we recognize, that Dr. Livingstone, I presume, phrase that sort of stuck with us in it's a phrase we all know. And I had this idea that he was a guy who, an explorer who got lost in Africa. And the biggest surprise is I actually was over there on one of my trips to Africa. I went and climbed Kilimanjaro on the end of it. And I got down and wanted to read about some of the explorers of Africa. And he was the only name I knew. And read this a secular biography and just found these nuggets that he was a man of deep faith and that there was some interest that he had in ending the slave trade over there. I didn't know anything about that. So I went looking for a book on Livingstone's faith, and with the work I'd done in combating human trafficking, I wanted to know about what was his vision for justice and abolition. And, you know, found that there was this whole untold story about how he had wrestled with his faith and how he went out to make this bold attempt with his life that he ended up giving away for the cause to end the African slave trade. And so that whole storyline was a surprise because no one had picked up on that in a foundational way in these books. And so many biographers had looked at him through a secular lens and just said, well, he's an explorer. And he really wasn't that great of an explorer. He was a very daring explorer, but he didn't find that many things. Really it was this man named Henry Morton Stanley who found Livingstone when he got lost trying to explore Africa. That was really the story that everyone told. And it was Livingstone's life and what he lived for and what he died for that was the biggest surprise to me, and that was ending the slave trade.
Well, all of us, I mean, are really called in that a similar way, maybe not to that extent, to, you know, go wandering around right. Africa, but I think you say sort of citizen ambassadors. Maybe just talk about, you know, our calling as Christ followers to go and to do.
Well, I think that concept of being an ambassador is something that has I talked about in Go and Do, and I see in Livingstone as a character, and as something that I've carried with me, is that we have this call to be ambassadors for Christ. And you know, if you think about what an ambassador does, I mean, they are often they're just there and they're available and they're representing something. And they're not necessarily speaking about something or telling about something. They're just there. And Livingstone was that. He was an ambassador for Christ. He wasn't necessarily able to communicate the gospel message. He didn't always spoke some African languages, but not everyone. And he was this living example. And that's, you know, for me, is especially as we work either, you know, here in the Midwest or abroad, it's, acting as an ambassador would, and acting as that call to be ambassadorial of representing something, and knowing that you're always the symbol and always the message bearer and the image that people are left with of faith and of Christ. And so it's been something that at least you know, something to aspire to act like, to be like, is that concept of an ambassador for me.
You know, we've talked about a couple of things about, you know, stateless children, about kids in prison. I'm interested, maybe your thoughts. What would be the most effective way to have an impact in global justice issues today? Is it child sponsorship? Is it, you know, supporting IJM, those kinds of things? I mean, what's seemed like making the most difference?
Wow. I mean, there are so many things, you know, that we look at. International Justice Mission is doing incredible things. And child sponsorship through World Vision and so many organizations is fantastic. You know, I keep going back to this this refugee crisis right now, because we're seeing that as such a global issue. I mean, there are millions of refugees, and we talk about. So I like to think about what are sort of the systemic causes of things like human trafficking and hunger and poverty. And in so many cases, it's displacement from a war or a political upheaval or famine, and people become refugees and they go to refugee camps and they're on the run. And that's where, you know, human traffickers prey. In Thailand, I mean, you know, it's these villages where the hill tribe refugee families have gone, and then the traffickers know to go there because they're vulnerable and they need food or money, and they have no place to turn. They don't have a way to really see what's the right thing to do. And this is, again, it's an issue that's coming to our doorstep and to our communities, that so many communities, and big and small. I mean, we're from a small town in Minnesota, and it's got hundreds of refugee families and hundreds of refugee families. Minneapolis has thousands of refugees, and you know, we need to welcome them to our churches. We need to start adopting these families and meet them at the airport. You know, also you talk about some of the terrorism issues that we've had that come up, where Minnesota and Minneapolis has been on the radar of people are being recruited there, that it's a place where you can find, you know, there are people out trying to develop these terror cells in those vulnerable communities. And so, again, I like to think of what are systemic sort of issues that we want to address. And to me, the refugee crisis around the world right now is one of those systemic issues that we can get involved with individually, with our churches, with our families, and also, you know, get our political leaders involved at the state and local level to make this a welcoming place for them.
Yeah, Ted, let's take a quick call from Hugh in Madison. Just want to share a little bit of story about his son. Hugh, we only have about 90 seconds, but give us a quick summary of your story.
A number of years ago, my pastor preached a sermon that he titled, Just Say Yes. 2 years before 2010 earthquake in Haiti, my son had felt an urge. He was a nursing professor. He had felt the urge to take teams of student nurses down there to work at a nursing school and just connect between the two cultures. He had done that for 2 years. And in 2010, when the earthquake struck Haiti, he was standing in his living room watching it unfold. And he said, those are my people. He said, I need to do something about it. At the same time, there was an orthopedic surgeon in Madison, Wisconsin, standing in his living room watching it unfold, saying, they don't need to cut off those limbs, I can fix them. And in 6 days, there was an emergency room nurse, a student nurse, my son, and this doctor all came together in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and out of just getting in line to go do what they could do. And out of a clear blue sky, a corporate jet landed, picked up the team, loaded up water, and landed near a helicopter place. And they were in Leogon, Haiti, in 6 days, taking care of the people there.
We don't have time to finish the story. I'm sorry I didn't give you a little more time, but it's a reminder of responding to that call. Just say yes. I'm glad that you shared the story. Jay, maybe just a final word from you.
Well, I love that idea of just say yes. I mean, that's a great message to end with. We feel this call from God, and I think, you know, adopting a philosophy of I'm just going to say yes when it comes is a way to approach this and see where he leads us.
Go and do. Daring to change the world one story at a time. Jay Milbrand, attorney and professor, joining us today. You can find out more at jmilbrandt.com. Glad to have you listening today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can catch it, the podcast, online.